Greetings, respective viewers, salutations, and truthful tidings that Jimmy Carter belongs to the ages. The President of the United States from 1977 to 1981 has been called to the great big oratorium in the sky. So James Earl Carter Jr., who was born in Plains, Georgia, by which I mean the state of Georgia, not the Republic of. He grew up part of a farming family. They had a cotton farm. Remember, cotton was king in the Deep South long ago, although the American South went into a prolonged economic decline after the end of the American Civil War. But anyway, his family were relatively prosperous in a not very rich state, and his father was a First World War veteran. They moved a lot, but they always lived in Georgia, and he was aware that there was a gulf between whites there and the African-American community. They were a majority in the counties he lived in usually. So he did quite well at school, and he noticed there was severe impecuniosity even amongst some of the whites. But he was aware of racial injustice. And for a middle-class white in Georgia at the time, his belief in racial equality was unusual. So he started studying at university in 1941, went to not very distinguished ones, Georgia Southwestern College, reserve officer training. The Second World War was on, and he joined the Naval Academy. But he graduated from the Navy, finished the Navy after the Second World War. He never saw action, something that was used against him by his political opponents, even though people like his main opponent, Ronald Reagan, had an even worse war record. Jimmy Carter was certainly willing to fight. Anyway, so when he left the Navy after several years, like 1959, that's why he soon got married. So the Democrats were much the dominant party in Georgia where he grew up, and he was eventually became relatively liberal within the party. He was elected to the state Senate in Georgia. And what else about him? This was a time of, Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, wanting racial equality, desegregation, a highly contentious issue in the Deep South. The civil rights movement was in full swing. And then he decided he wanted to stand for the governorship of Georgia. He made some gubernatorial races. He wasn't the most liberal on the racial issue to begin with, but he later became so, finally being elected to governor of Georgia and a subsequent try in 1971. And there was a dire economic situation in Georgia, which he managed to sort out. So finally, 1976, he got the candidacy, the Democrats nominations for the presidency with Walter Mondale, a Democrat from one of those northern states, was it Minnesota, as his running mate, and then he was elected. It was just against Gerald Ford, because Spiro Agnew, the vice president, resigned over some scandal. Then there was Watergate, Richard Milhouse Nixon resigned over that. So the Republicans were scandal struck. It was just after the Vietnam era, and then he came in, beating Gerald Ford. Okay, so in those days, the Democrats were often winning the solid South. It's obviously completely the other way around now. And he came in at a difficult time. There was stagflation and economic stagnation and inflation. He managed to the stewardship of the economy with some difficulty. Oil prices were very high because the Arab world was penalizing the Western world by not pumping oil for several months. And the oil prices quadrupled. And the US is obviously very energy thirsty. Almost everybody's got a car. And so it went on. But what really went badly for him is the Iranian Revolution. Could be liberal or socialist revolution, but eventually the Islamic fundamentalists took over after January 1979. The Shah fled. Now, Jimmy Carter said that human rights was at the heart of his foreign policy, but he had to downplay criticism of the Shah's dictatorship and the widespread use of torture by secret police, SAVAK, because he was a vital ally. And I remember seeing him publicly laud the Shah to his face. And then there was the Islamic Revolution, and then they burst into, several months later, some of the religious fundamentalist students burst into the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. They took dozens of American diplomats hostage, eventually released the women and the African-Americans, and held them all through his presidency. How was he to get them back? A military rescue mission, which is eventually authorized, but went wrong. One of the helicopters crashed and blah, blah, blah. He'd frozen Iranian bank accounts abroad, persuaded the Bank of England to do likewise. And the new Iranian regime, the Islamic Republic of Iran, wanted the Shah back to put him on trial for his life. And Carter wasn't willing to extradite him, told him to leave the United States. He went to various countries, eventually died in Egypt, the Shah. But what was to happen? The Iran-Iraq war began, and this really hit his approval ratings. Were it not for the Iran hostage crisis, he would probably have been reelected. And it was low. He couldn't solve it decisively. He could bomb Iran if the hostages weren't released, but then they might all get killed. Trying to negotiate some sort of deal. And then so he stood against Ronald Reagan, a Republican former governor of California, and lost in 1980. And his concession speech saying, I wish I could say it doesn't hurt, but it does. That and inflation is really what sunk him. But then Reagan was sworn in, and seconds after Reagan completed the presidential oath, 20th of January 1981, the news came through that the hostages had been released. The Carter administration was negotiating right down to the wire to get them out. And a deal was made that the Iranian money abroad was unfrozen. The hostages were released, flown first of all to West Germany. Remember, Germany's divided in those days. So that was called Carter. But he's been politically involved ever since then. It was difficult for his presidency because Congress are very much against him. He's gone around to be an election observer and things like that. He's proposed relatively left-wing views like publicly funded healthcare in the United States. That must be more on anti-poverty action. He said that gay people should be able to serve openly in the United States military. He also helped to midwife the Camp David peace accords. Egypt recognized Israel in return for getting a lot more money from the United States. Israel evacuating Sinai, quite controversial in Egypt at the time. And so it went on. Anyway, he wanted poverty relief programs. Remember, the Cold War was at its height at the time. So he said he tried to promote democracy and human rights around the world. He wrote a very thoughtful book about the Arab-Israeli conflict, The Blood of Abraham, that the Bozeman descended from Abraham, the Ishmaelites, and the descendants of Isaac, the children of Israel. So that's him, a decent person, I suppose, who went into politics for the right reason, didn't always make good or moral decisions, often castigated as a failure in later life. I remember in the 90s when the Republicans were campaigning against Bill Clinton saying, oh, it's really a Carter-mobile, what he's trying to run. So he was a man of many parts, a Renaissance man. He liked fishing. He liked craftsmanship, keeping fit. He was a fan of Dylan Thomas, who was a sort of famous poet when he was quite young. He was a fervent Christian, used to read the Bible a lot, I think teach Sunday school and so on. Unfortunately, didn't speak up for a child's right to life. So he's died at the age of 100, the oldest US president ever. His wife died a few years ago. So he's been at a very decent man. Well, it shall be sorely missed. And look at what Trump is. The difference between him and Jimmy Carter could scarcely be greater. Thank you for watching the video. Goodbye, everyone.